Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 21st chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
When Jesus entered the temple, the chief priests and elders of the people came to him as he was teaching and said, "By what authority are you doing these things, and who gave you this authority?" Jesus said to them, "I will also ask you one question. If you tell me the answer, then I will also tell you by what authority I do these things. Did the baptism of John come from heaven, or was it of human origin?" And they argued with one another. "If we say from heaven, he will say to us, 'Why then did you not believe in him?' But if we say of human origin, we will be afraid of the crowd, for all regard John as a prophet." So they answered Jesus, "We do not know." And he said to them, "Neither will I tell you by what authority I'm doing these things. What do you think? A man had two sons. He went to the first and said, 'Son, go to work in the vineyard today.' And he answered, 'I will not go.' But later he changed his mind and he went. They said, the father went to the second and said to the same, and he answered, 'I go, sir.' But he did not go. Which of the two did the will of his father?" They said, "The first." Jesus said to them, "Truly I tell you, tax collectors and prostitutes are going to the kingdom of God ahead of you. For John came to you in the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him. But the tax collectors and the prostitutes believed him, and even after you saw it, you did not change your minds and believe in him." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. Because we added a baptism and Holy Communion to this service, I was looking at the sermon that I wrote and I thought, we'll be here all morning. So I decided to abbreviate it, and I feel bad about making that change because there was some good stuff in the other part. So if you want to see it, you can read it. It's been printed. But it's hard to make changes, isn't it? We get our minds set on something and we're going to do it. And when we find out we're not supposed to, or we need to change, it's really hard to change. But we always have these choices in life. Some choices lead to life and a better life. Some choices lead to death. We have to make those choices, and as much as we would like to avoid it, they come upon us. In our recent readings today, we're reminded that those choices are for everybody. The religious as well as the non-religious, everybody has to make them. I remember seeing a notice about, or an article about some of the saints of the past who talked about how they had to empty themselves of themselves. It's something all of us have to face because sometimes we're so full of ourselves that God can't get in. There isn't room for God. We have to let go of that. Over the past several weeks, our gospel has dealt with forgiveness. And we've talked about how forgiveness is so important. If we hold on to the sin of others, if somebody sins against us and we hold on to that, we're dragged down by it. The only way we get relief is if we let go of it, forgive, and let go. The person who has sinned still has to deal with their sin. It's still theirs. They're attached to it. They're drugged down by it. That doesn't mean that we have to. We have to let go. The word repent means to turn around, to change directions. And we have to find a way that we now can change our direction to to go in the way that God wants us to go. In our first reading, the people of Israel were trying to say they didn't need to do that. That they really were, it was out of their control. But we all make excuses, just like they did. You know, it started with Adam and Eve. Remember? Adam, when he's called on the carpet for eating the forbidden fruit, says, "Oh, well, God, it really wasn't my fault. It was that woman you gave me." And when he confronted Eve, Eve said, "Well, God, it really wasn't my fault. It was that serpent you created. It's your fault, God." We do that all the time. How many of you have seen the movie or been to the play, The West Side Story? Have you ever? Some of you have. Some of you, it's way before your time. But in The West Side Story, it's a musical in which there are some gangs that are fighting one another. And the one gang, the Jets, are always in trouble with the law. And they act out one scene in which one of them plays the part of an officer who arrests another one. And he drags him before the social worker. And then he goes to the psychiatrist. And then he goes to the judge. And each one of them has a different excuse for why this guy is always in trouble. It is a social problem. It's an educational problem, get poor education. It's the parents. It's always the parents' fault. Excuses, excuses, excuses. And that's what the people of Israel are trying to do to when Ezekiel is on the scene. Ezekiel writes to them and says, I'm going to summarize all of that he says in one word. He uses different words, but you'll get the idea. His answer to what their excuses is, baloney. How's that for summarizing something? It's a bunch of horse pucky. You sinned, you can change. It's as simple as that. There's no big theology about it. It's you sin, you repent, you turn back to the Lord. When Paul is writing to the Philippians, he loves the Philippians. They're probably one of his favorite churches that he writes to. And he is concerned that they're starting to squabble among themselves. And he says, let go of all those squabbles. And bottle yourself after Jesus, who even though he was in the form of God, did not think equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself and became obedient, even unto death, death on a cross. That's what Paul is trying to get them to do. Now, in our gospel today, Jesus is meeting some people who are full of themselves. It's the chief priest, the big wig, and his church council, the elders. And they come to Jesus because they're trying to put him on the spot. And Jesus knows that they don't have any real good excuse. They don't know that because, like I said, they're full of themselves. Jesus tells them about the story about these two sons. The father sends them out. Sends one out and says, I want you to go out there in the field. And he said, oh, Dad, I don't want to do it. It's hot out there. I get dirty. I have to work with those people who stink. I'm not going out there. But later, he changes his mind and he goes. The other son, he says, go out there and work in the vineyard. And he says, sure, Dad, I'll do it. But he doesn't go. And then Jesus asks him, which one of these did the will of the Father? Of course, the one who actually did what his word said. There's a fable, that is an Aesop's fable, that tells about a fox that's running away from a hunter and some hounds. And he comes across a guy chopping down a tree, a woodcutter. And he says, "Please help me. They're going to kill me. Help me find a place to hide." And the woodcutter says, "Go into my hut. They'll never find you." So the hunter and the hounds arrive. And the hunter says, "Have you seen the fox?" And the woodcutter says, "No," but he shakes his head and tries to point to where the fox is hiding. Well, fortunate for the fox, the hunter didn't see where he was pointing and took off. So the fox comes out and he just takes off. And the woodcutter says, "What's the deal here? How ungrateful can you be? You didn't even say thank you." And the fox said, "I would have had your deeds been as good as your words." That's what Jesus is saying to the elders and the chief priests. You say good things and you proclaim good things, but you don't live by them. Your deeds and your words are not the same. Throughout our lives, we're faced with those kinds of dilemmas. How do we live the Word of God? How do we fill ourselves with it, so that we can live by it? When we came 2 years ago, those of you who were here probably remember the turmoil. A little bit of dissension here and there, and some difficult times, and the very first church council meeting we had. And this happened not just here, but at Union also. First council meeting, the question was, how soon can we get a call committee going? And I had to say, whoa, we're not ready for that. And we had to go through this transition process whereby we emptied ourselves of some of the old stuff and filled ourselves with new stuff, the new way of doing things. When I first started gardening, I was doing, my specialty was medicinal herbs. And one of them that I've read a lot about, but I'd never seen. I don't know why. I didn't look at the spice cabinet, but it was rosemary. So I bought this packet of seeds. And I thought, I'll start from scratch. I'll just plant these seeds. I went out. I found a pot out in the garage. It had probably been there since before Methuselah. It was old, but it had dirt in it. I thought, fantastic. I don't even have to buy any potting soil. So I planted my rosemary seeds, and I watered them, and I took care of them. Nothing came. Well, I read in the book that rosemary is very hard to germinate. I mean, it's hard to grow the seed. So I thought, well, I'll just wait a little longer. Well, pretty soon, I had this little sprig come up, and I thought, wow, I've got rosemary. So I nurtured this plant till it was about that tall. I took it out into my garden and transplanted it, and I was just so proud of this. I had a friend came over who taught vocational agriculture, and I was showing him my rosemary plant. And I said, "Isn't it fantastic? I got to grow from seed." And he just looked at it, shook his head. Pretty soon he said, "I don't think that's rosemary." I said, well, what do you think it is? He said, "That looks an awful lot like smooth leaf ragweed." I should have emptied the pot and put new potting soil in there. But instead, I let the old seep up. And sometimes we have to do that. What Paul says to the Philippians, empty ourselves and become obedient to God. And as we grow together as the people of God, that's what happens when we can get rid of some of the old, but nurture the good that
And it's there.
That's what the transition team and the church council discovered over the last 2 years.
We have so much good that goes from it.
And we have another blessing, and that is that this church is founded on solid, good, living roots, going all the way back over 100 years.
And all we need to do is nurture the goodness within it and see what we can become.
And I am absolutely convinced that God is calling this congregation to something way beyond our belief.
It's going to happen. It's happening.
And God is lifting us up so that we can be the people of God in Buffalo.
And that's the good news,
the really good news. So may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Amen.
Let's stand and sing the first two verses of the hymn, Love Divine, All Love Excelling.